Like Louis Armstrong, break the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is the Architect.
Hey mate, how's it going?
Good mate, why are you wearing Swan's colours?
I'm confused, clearly.
Obviously. With us is Christina, how are you?
Been better.
Just lounging?
Yeah, lounging, resting my knee.
And with us is the correspondent. How are you, correspondent?
Mate, I'm good. More importantly, how are you? Did you get home?
I did have a headache this morning. See, what happened, listeners, is in the podcast landscape, everyone knows there's a lot of good Essendon podcasts out there. In the Essendon podcast landscape, the correspondent is Keith Richards. And that's what I did last night. I went drinking with Keith after not having dinner. So
that was your fault.
It was definitely my fault. I should know better. But we won't be self-indulgent today. It's going to be a quick podcast. So that'll be pleasing to everybody, I'm sure. Look, I thought, what honourable losses? Who else is sick of them?
It's death, taxes, and a close loss to Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. Seems to happen a lot. You got a bit of noise in the background, Architect, by the way.
I'll mute myself. It's the kids playing VR.
How are you going? It's 8 o'clock in the evening. They've got primary school tomorrow.
No.
These kids have school.
No, they want to do an all-nighter, so we just thought, let them go. It's modern parenting.
Fair enough. All right, so where do we start? Look, I reckon we uncovered our second ruckman for the next 10 years, Brian. I question whether he'd have the ability to because we know he can take marks and get possessions and do reasonably well at VFL level. And granted, he wasn't playing against Simon Madden yesterday. He wasn't even playing against Max Crowe. But he was, for me, the most positive thing to come out of yesterday. Like, I really like some of the marks he took around the ground, in particular the mark up forward, albeit he missed the goal. And we found a gem, haven't we?
Yeah, I think you and I commented his four or five times his kind of work with his hands, little handballs in chains. We hadn't really seen that before, so that was encouraging.
It was
nice to actually win clearances for a change as well, so I thought his tap work was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought Phillips' tap work was also really good for the most part. He's terrible in the contest, marking contest, I mean. He needs a GPS. He loses where the ball is.
Hmm.
But I reckon let's get straight to the awards, and I'm going to give it to you, Christina. You're looking too relaxed for mine. So give us some of the best players. He's put their head in her hands. Give us some of your best players, nominations.
Okay. A bit of forewarning would have helped. Right. So let's go Langford. 6 goals. Best, I think, is his highest scoring game that he's played.
6 or 5?
5 goals.
Yeah, I thought he kicked
it. Okay, 5 goals. But I think he made something out of nothing, what was coming forward to him, and marked some pretty difficult balls that when others weren't marking. Dyson Heppel was a bit of a rock down back.
He was.
Especially towards the end of the game. Took, again, another critical mark. Who we got in midfield? I think this will be controversial. There's probably a toss-up between Hobbs and Parrish. I know people have been hard on Parrish, but he had the most forward entries.
I thought he was good. He was good yesterday.
But I think also Hobbs, just his effort around the contest, along with Caldwell at the beginning of the game, Hobbs kind of got us in, kept us in it in the third quarter. So they're my nominations. Anyone else?
Oh, it was nice to see Merritt to get the start getting the ball again. And I thought he was fairly clean throughout the night. So it was, again, from the prior 2 weeks, it was nice that he's kind of responded.
Agree. What about you, correspondent?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I was going to ask, mate, but we'll talk about it. That, yeah, we got centre clearances, et cetera, and we had, what, 20 more inside 50s, and yet we lost the game. So I'm sure in a minute we'll talk about why we think we lost it.
Yeah, I will shout out one guy as well, Zirk Thatcher,
yes,
who only had 11 posies.
And that was not a free kick. My God.
Oh, my. Yes, absolutely.
My God.
Yeah, we. Anyway, enough of that. Enough said. It's amazing. He's got a little bit of gadget in him, a little bit of Inspector Gadget Fletcher. And his ability to arrive really late at the contest and get the spoil in. So I do like that about him. I think he's getting better at reading the play.
And yeah. knowing when to leave his man to help out and when not to go.
There's the odd person on social media that thinks we should be looking to trade him. I'm like, I don't get that.
No, you don't find backmen like him very often, and he's just getting better.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought he stood in for Ridley really well. He literally took up that role. I thought he was pretty much flawless in doing it.
Well, given we didn't replace Ridley, you know, at all, they just went with the existing kind of players, and obviously Cox played a little bit back, but yeah, anyway. And are you just doing, we're doing any Hennemans, mate, or we're just sticking with the herd for the moment? Oh.
Well, who's the herd first?
I'm going to get it to Langford because he was really efficient with what he did and kept us in the game.
Yeah, totally agree.
I reckon he's BNF favourite at the moment, would be my guess.
If he doesn't play out of the goal square for the next 3 or 4 years.
Agree.
I think just his ability to change, move up the ground and, you know, make it really difficult. He can jump in the air. He can take low marks. He can. He apparently has very good running patterns, so he knows how to lead properly. He makes it very difficult for defenders.
Yeah, I think defenders, when they know they've got an assignment on him, would be having nightmares the night before. Very good. That was the good bit. Who are your Hennemann nominations?
Okay. I
just love the look on your face.
I'm going to start. Little bit of Peter Wright. He only came good in the last 10 minutes of the game and actually clunked some marks. But before then, he just looked, I don't know, had no confidence whatsoever. He was just getting in the wrong position. He wasn't giving second efforts. Who else we got?
Let's pause on Peter Wright for a second.
Yeah.
He should have kicked six goals.
Yeah.
The amount of times he got separation, got his hands to the ball, and it's like he had soap on his hands. It just slipped out.
It looks like he was trying to clap it. His marking technique. It's I don't know. He's completely lost his timing with it. If he wasn't running under it, he was trying to clap it or flat hand it, which
did,
never going to make it.
Did one ball like hit him in the head or went through his hands and smacked him in the melon?
Yeah.
I did say it's like he tried to spike it in volleyball. That was my comment last night. But yeah, a bit of volleyball, a bit of soccer, just not enough AFL marking.
I was going to ask, it's funny how a guy can kick four goals and be in contention for the Henneman.
Yeah, well,
but I think because we know he can be better than that. Like he just hasn't shown it.
Well, on the flip side, he was their best small forward. Again, his crumbing's good.
Crumbing to himself.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, because he gives crumbs when he drops the marks. Now, look, it would be a weird one, as you point out, correspondent, to give a guy who's kicked four goals,
yeah,
the Henneman, but I don't dislike the nomination.
I think we said last night, you know, when you say, did we lose the game because of his lack of, yeah, we kind of did, right?
I think another nomination might be slightly controversial as well as Menzies. He did some okay things, but for a lot of the game, he wasn't in the right position to crumb the ball that did come in.
Yeah, he was pretty anonymous for most of the game.
Then Martin and Durham didn't do... They turned up in the last quarter, but again, for most of the game, they were kind of a bit invisible. Anyone else got any ideas?
I was going to say, I reckon there's a bunch of those guys that were all, you know, pretty lukewarm for most of the night. I think the Prince of Perth needs a mention.
Yes.
That attempted a mark, or one of the worst bits of play I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's interesting because you know, like Alwyn Davey, he didn't get the ball a lot, but when he got it, I know he made a couple of mistakes, but we saw some good things.
Yeah,
he makes things happen. Yeah.
Well, it's pressure act, so it's when he doesn't have the ball is what I like. With Davey, he's constantly moving, he constantly chases. It's the same with Menzies. I don't think he had a great game, but again, when he doesn't have the ball, it's what I like, what I see that he does as a small forward. Maybe some of the other forwards should have a look at how they kind of run and chase, because it doesn't look like a lot of them do that with their intensity, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how all these dream team points work or whatever, but just quickly looking, Perkins, Durham, and Guelphy all had like 50 something points, which is bugger all, right? And that was just reflective. It seemed that there were half a dozen guys that were just kind of, you know, dawdling.
Yes, just going, I think is the term.
Using racing balance.
I think Perkins in the third and fourth quarter was actually one of the few in the midfield that was really trying to make a difference against the run of Sydney. He was actually trying to crash through with the ball, try and make tackles. He was trying to make stuff happen.
True.
But
then that might not turn up on the score sheet or the fantasy point things. So,
So who are you giving it to?
Oh, I think I'm going to give it to Guelphy, because I'm not sure he really added much to forward line.
I think he's knackery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he can't tackle or set up points or crumb the ball, you know, then what's the point of you being there?
Did Snelling do much? Probably not.
I think he had a few goal assists. So yeah, I think he had 10 possessions in a quarter.
It's not too bad coming on late in the third, I guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, he was a sub. Sorry, of course.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, he.
And I think Hines was really good as well, actually.
The one for me, I thought was good. Yeah, I agree. I thought he was a good in, Nick Hines. The one for me that I thought was a bit quiet was Nick Cox. Are we just playing him in the wrong position still, or barely sighted?
He actually did a good job in defence, to be honest, against, I think he was on McDonald. But, yeah, look, I give him some outs because he's, you know, he hasn't played a lot of footy in 12 months. But, yeah. You're right, mate. Where's his best position? I think he was the guy that he was sent to be the next tall on the back line with with Ridley out.
Yeah, but I'm going to give him a pass because he's basically learning a new position on the job.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't great.
He was quiet. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't get why you don't have someone like Baldwin that's been training in that role, who's a big body, much bigger than Cox. Might not be as tall, but why wouldn't he come in?
I reckon both he and Menzies had a massive bender and broke team rules about a month ago. That's it. That's the only explanation I can find.
You're saying they're out with me?
Yes. Yes.
No, I think we're all surprised that Baldwin didn't play because. But that said, the Sydney forward line was it was their midfield that won it rather than their forward line, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their back line, bloody Papley.
Well, can I, one thing I want to ask, so pretty good Herd and Henneman's there, no complaints. The coach, so we've praised Brad Scott a fair bit on this podcast, and rightly so, and so have many other people. The thing that used to shit me about Truck is we'd see the same things happening over and over again and nothing was changed. Now, granted, Brad Scott's had a lot less time with this group. I still don't understand why we are kicking long to a forward line where a forward's got three defenders on him. But it's not happening at the other end. So conversely, when the ball's going up the other end, it's usually invariably a one-on-one. Are players getting sucked up onto the ball? Do we know what? Why and what's going on? It's like week after week after week. It's so frustrating.
I don't know, mate. I mean, we had a good vantage point watching last night, and you're right. Probably didn't focus enough on looking at what was it that was not working out, other than noticing that it was happening and it was very frustrating. So.
This is what I do love about our podcast is no other podcast, like, we'll ask a question about what's going on technically, and you go, I don't know, mate.
No clue.
I love it.
It's we're accurate. That's what it. That, everyone else says they know what's going on, but we'll tell the truth and say we don't know what's going on.
That's right. Well, clearly the players don't know.
I've got a theory.
Go for it.
The last, 15 minutes when the team actually realised they were in for a chance, they actually started playing the brand of football that they were trained to play. Like, they had pressure on the ball, they were doing short kicks up the ground, finding the best option, and then kicking to a lead. And it's almost as like for about two quarters or two and a half quarters, they got either complacent or gun-shy or scared and went for the safe option as opposed to being brave and going, let's win this game, let's just go for it. So that's...
Which could explain why when it was too little too late, we started to just take risks and it seemed to pay off.
Yeah, we're playing too safely from the back line. It was just... Yeah, and that's why someone like Hind is so important to our team, because it makes us unpredictable and makes the opposition guess a bit more. So anyway, that's my theory.
Mate, those little architects in the background are obviously just going sick with the VR. What are they playing?
Oh, mate, I have no idea.
It'll be some war game, mate. It'll be nice and relaxing for bed.
That's exactly it. You get to stab someone or shoot someone, they're happy.
Yep. Beautiful.
Just to add on to yours, Christina, it's like it feels like we played in the last quarter. We played on a lot more and a lot quicker from marks than what we did in the first three, and I think that was the difference. The kind of the roll around and play on quickly to a lead up forward made the difference.
Yeah, so maybe they need to play every quarter like they're on a stopwatch, and then we might actually play some good football or something.
And then you're right, the fact that we took a couple of marks at the forward line. Peter Wright did suddenly change things. Oh, well, and yet, as we said, yet another honourable loss. Any other comments on the game at all?
First game I've watched in a long time where we were primarily dominant for the whole entire game, other than probably halfway through the second through halfway through the third, and we lost.
You mean through the midfield we were dominant?
No, just the dominant around the... I thought we were dominant pretty much in most positions throughout the game, other than the forward 50, for the vast majority of the game. I just, like, staggering to say we looked like we were the better team for the most of the night, and we still lost.
I know, it's funny because being there watching it, I don't think I was there with Solution and another mate, but I don't think we ever thought we were going to win it until we got the run on in the last term. But the Swans seemed to score too easily throughout the game, and the amount of times it went into our forward line and came waltzing out. It was strange.
Yeah. It just felt like naive football that we were playing. We kept getting sucked into kicking to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it was chronic in the Geelong game, and it hasn't changed.
But anyway, also the non free kick against Rampy for holding the ball. We have to mention that. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, but we know Rampy has sold his soul to Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he, and
since when does Papley kick a goal from inside the square, you know, late to win, virtually win the game?
Yeah.
It's like 2 centimetres to the left and it hits the post kind of thing. And it was that bloody close as well, so.
We will look back, I think, this year and those close losses. And hopefully we'll look back and we'll say, okay, well, we learnt, you know, our young players had to go through that to get to where they are.
Is that almost the L word?
Yes, it is. But there's a difference between a coach saying, I can't get my team to play the way I want them to play, they have to learn, and just getting, you know, the wealth of experience you get from winning and losing and you know, what works on the field, what doesn't in close games, all that sort of shit.
Someone posted on Twitter, you might have seen it, that we've had 16 games since 2007 against the Swans that have been less than 2 goals.
I hate them. I hate them so much.
Ever since, what's his name, who plays at Geelong, who ragdolled Gleeson on the goal line, you know, and it's just so many times.
Well, 1996?
I was there in 96. Terrible.
I was on a rooftop in Osaka, Japan, and my dad was commentating the last 10 minutes on the phone, and being my dad, rather than straight commentary, it was, and Fletcher, he stuffed it up. And he's kicked it. Shit, Herd, what did you do? And I had that for 10 minutes. Incredibly frustrating. And then we lost by a point.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. No, I hate them. Anyway, is that it? Move on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, douche and deity of the week. Do you have any nominations?
I've got a nomination for the douche. The gym in Sunbury that was happy to have the neo-Nazis. It's like, fuck off.
I'm not across that one, but yeah, fair point.
No, they had a I don't know, what do they call it? It's like a bodybuilding or a strength tournament for neo-Nazis down in Sunbury.
Sunbury?
Yep.
That's where the sweeper's from.
Yeah, I was wondering, would the sweeper have been there just pumping iron?
I don't know. He's a big boy, this sweep. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, where they meant to go, I guess.
1942, mate. That's where they're supposed to go.
Yeah, correct. Very good point. 1945.
You know the Logies are on.
Oh, my God. Well, there's one big douche, honestly. Is TV Week even a magazine anymore?
I don't know.
Actually, do magazines even exist?
Barely.
I'll throw Sinead O'Connor, throw that one out there. That was a bit sad.
Yeah. She's a deity, you're saying?
Well, yeah, I think she had a pretty tough, didn't have a lot of breaks.
Well, she had one big break.
Yeah.
Which was Prince giving her that song. And then...
I mean, she had a pretty torrid life.
Yeah, definitely.
And what her son, I think her son committed suicide last year, so, you know, pretty hard. Anyway, that's enough doom and gloom.
Yeah, bring the tone down.
Thank you.
Any other nominations? None?
No.
We won't mention the cricket because we mention it every week, but it's incredibly annoying the way they're just going out with a whimper.
Sam Kerr's calf.
Yeah. Actually, I reckon that's douche-worthy. Look, I've got Optus, and so I can watch and enjoy the Women's World Cup, and I must admit, I haven't watched the games, but I've just, like, watched the highlights every day, pretty much. It doesn't feel like the buzz of a World Cup because it's not on TV.
Yeah.
No.
And I know they would have thrown money at it, and I guess the job of the commercial guys that are selling the rights is to make as much money as they can. But for a game that's struggled at grassroots and has problems with its structure and is just a clusterfuck, Australian football, if you know anything about it locally, it's just a bad call to give it to a streaming service. I think it should have been on free-to-air TV.
Yeah. I just won't pay anything. No, well, it is, well, sorry, the Australian games obviously are, but the rest of it's behind the paywall, right?
Yeah. And Australia are going to go out. So.
Well, Australia go out tomorrow night and virtually nobody will know it's on.
That's right. Very disappointing. Anyway, all right, next week. Who are we losing to next week?
West Coast.
Oh, a win.
Oh, hang on.
Do we have any concern?
Actually, it's Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. There you go. Traditional footy.
My God.
I'm surprised it's not 4:40 Sunday.
Oh, the Eagles have got to get back to Perth, you know, so.
Yeah, well, they did play today at 4:40 against North. That would have rated the house down.
Maybe this is our chance, because for the Eagles, this will be like playing a morning game. They'll be completely thrown off.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, they did win, I know.
Just. It was a weekend of funny results, right?
Is that what happens when two teams try and tank?
Must be.
Yeah, let's have a look. How many points were scored? That's normally a telltale sign.
No, it was 72-67.
10-12-10-7. No, I was expecting to see like 2-13-2, 1-17 or something.
Well, arguably, look, I'm just looking. West Coast kicked one behind in the last term, so they tried to lose. Mind you, North Melbourne didn't score in the third term, so they had.
Yeah, they were tanking. I mean, looking at...
As long as we don't go in complacent, we should beat them very well.
How the hell did Freo beat Geelong in Geelong?
I don't know.
Don't know.
No idea.
How did the Gold Coast beat Brisbane by 40 points?
Yeah, I'll give Gold Coast social media team a deity.
Oh, the lights out. Was it the lights?
Yeah.
It was good.
That's pretty funny.
Did somebody want to explain for someone that didn't see it?
You go, architect. I don't know.
Brisbane were trying to res up the Suns by basically saying, let's make this Q Clash big and interesting, and the Sun said, hey, you just worry about yourself because you can't keep the lights on, type of thing. So it was a bit of back and forth.
Yeah, but I think Brisbane brought up power, didn't they? Or lights.
They said, apparently you sleep with the lights on.
Sleep with the lights on, that's right. And Gold Coast, said, worry about your own lights. You're the worst storyteller ever, architect. Fucking shocking. All right, give me your predictions.
Essendon by 50 points.
Essendon by 65 points.
Ooh, Jesus.
42, and it'll be batshit boring.
Yeah. I'll go 37 points. I think we'll miss a lot of shots. I want to see Peter Wright continue his last 5 minutes. I want him to start taking some marks. I don't understand.
The trend's your friend. He's, you know, he just takes that last 10 minutes into the next game.
With a bit of luck. All right. Song of the week. Did you ever listen?
I didn't, actually. Sorry, mate.
You never listen.
I do.
I sent it earlier in the week. I did it early. Well, the creativity is just coming.
It was too early.
Anyway, I've gone to a bit of, speaking of drinking with Keith Richards, I've gone to a bit of Amy Winehouse.
I did listen to a bit of it.
Yes.
Amy Winehouse, her song Back in Black, Back in Red and Black. It's a little bit of an ode to her shit we've been of late. But no comments, no thoughts. Okay.
It was a good movie, the Amy movie, by the way.
It was a very good movie.
It was a good doco.
Yeah. Her boyfriend was basically a heroin addict. What an
arsehole.
Yeah, it was in his interest to keep her...
And her old man was a piece of work. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd definitely check it out if you've never seen
it. Welcome to IMDb, a score of 8.2.
Good movie. All right. Well, on that note... before I go, big sign off, anything else? Nothing? Don't want to say anything? Well, something about cake. Check it out. It's booking season, so get in, book your cakes.
Are we getting a cake? End of season?
I don't know. The sponsorship mainly goes to keeping our power on. So, yeah, we'll see. But check out something about cake. Bless you, Christina. Architect, enjoy the all-nighter with your boys. And don't complain when they're 22 and in prison. You'll know why. But, yeah, check out the sponsor. And check out Fiona's forecast on Friday. And we'll see you next week.
Go Dons.
Yeah. Essendon. Used to be sad, no need for regret, we were a safe bet. In school, held my head high, no word of a lie, we'd always beat the pies. Since we had Fletcher, Lloyd and Hurt, we've lost 1,000 times. It's so painful to follow the red and. Since we had Fletcher, Lloyd and Hurd, we've lost 1,000 times. It's so painful to follow the red and black. Love you so much, but it's not enough, 'cause losing is so rough. You act far removed, following the blues, but remember your shit too. Since we had Fletcher, Lloyd and Hurd, we've lost 1,000 times. It's so painful to follow the red ant. Since we had Fletcher, Lloyd and Hurd, we've lost 1,000 times. It's so painful to follow the red and black.